Blog Talk Radio.
Come before you at this time. Now, our call-in number so you can be a part of the show is 347-857-4192. Make sure you press 1, and we will get you on the line. We just ask you to give us your location and offer your expertise. If you want to be part of the show by going through the web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/WVSW, Internet Talk Radio. If you want to get an opportunity to tweet the show, you can at WVSW_internet_talk_radio, as well as at Lorenza D. Smith 15. as well as at coach_L_Smith, at Dr. Lorenza Smith with the number one, at the Smith Way Production. Now, if you want to go to Instagram, you have that opportunity, you can go to Coach Dr. Lorenza D. Smith, 15. And we wanted you to check us out on Facebook where we're being broadcast. We have a room open and kind of waiting for individuals to join us. I'm seeing I have someone that are going to join us, but somehow they're not popping up because the invitation is here. I see right here I have a request, and I'm going to accept her request, and that's a co-host, one of our co-hosts, none other than Lisa Levine out of that great, beautiful, sunshine state of Florida. So we're so glad to have her as a part of us. She made a request, and see, we're going to work this thing out. See, you know, I have through Facebook, as I was saying, with facebook.com/DRLDRBertoSmith, or you can go to the room that's been created, which is WBSW Radio. You can check us out on that room, and you can be a part of this night. We got an awesome show planned for tonight. Adolescent and children. This is what it's all about. Adolescent and children are literally dying inside. What do we do to save them? And that's what it's all about. We have to be able to be in a position to save them, because we are the adults making the decisions now that it's affecting everybody's life. We're going to have a challenging 2020. 2021 has been challenging. Yes, I see there's hope, but we got to understand we still have the challenges before us. And what we want to do, we want to talk about our young. It's all about our youth, all about those individuals who are going to make a difference in the future. They're going to be, they're definitely our future. We're their present and their past to work from. So let's take this opportunity to talk about them tonight. Now, we also want you to know that there's several co-hosts that join us from time to time. We have Lisa Levine on here as well. So far, we have Ms. Lauren D. Smith joining us as well. We have Dr. Olivia E. Smith, Dr. O, joining us as well. We have Ms. Scarlett H. Black. And I'm going to say we're praying that Scarlett had some surgery recently. Matter of fact, she has another phase of it tomorrow. So she's going to be back with us in 2 weeks. So our prayers is that she recover speedily, and that's a win. And we also have Ms. Tina Robinson out of Oakland, California, that's joined us. We want to definitely give her a shout-out because recently Tina was recognized in the newspaper out in Oakland for the things that she's doing with our homeless, our individuals that are domestic violence during COVID-19. She's making a difference, and that's exactly what we all should be trying to do, helping one another so we can be successful during this process. Now, we want to talk about a couple more things before we get started with our show. We're being broadcast besides Facebook. We have Twitter as well as Instagram. And also, we want you to be aware that we're heard in 18 countries. And we're so proud to have an opportunity to get the word through this vessel out to those individuals all over the world. So we have that opportunity, and we just want to talk about just plain old life issues. And that's where we are. That's how we're going to focus it. That's what Talking Real to You is all about. So we want you to be a part of it. Just plain old life issues. Then we're going to discuss them. We're going to give a shout out to those individuals already joining us. So far, we have Marquise Boyan. We have him joining us. I'm going to give him away in a minute. I've got to reach over some devices. Got a few more new toys added to our studio. We now have a mic instead of sitting down so low you can't hear. We have a mic sitting up so it can be we can be heard. That's what it's all about. We're adding things every day. God is just blessing us. What he has for us, we're just going to take it as he presents it to us. So we're so thankful that God is blessing us in so many ways. So, again, we're also so thankful for you as watchers and listeners who joins us throughout the time of time. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at the line, and I think we have our other co-host on here out of that great state of South Carolina. And I'm going to make sure I give her that introduction in a minute, but I'll make her live. Then we're going to come back and and we're going to make sure we introduce her as well as go back and introduce Lisa as well. So it's awesome to be here. I am thankful. If no one is left, I'm thankful, and I'm thankful for you and thankful for myself and my family and all those individuals. It's been challenging in 2020 and even in the beginning, and we're still in challenging times. Even though we have a vaccine, we still have cases still being presented and COVID-19 daily. But, you know, the journey, we have to continue on. Can't give up. We have to make sure we move forward and follow the direction we are being given from the individuals who's in a position to make give those directions. So we have to keep that in mind. I know it's that we're excited about getting springtime. We want to get out. You know, we got spring fever, but we got to slow down just a little bit now. We have to wait a little while longer before we start, like some states are doing, opening up, like, you know, just let's go at it. You know, we're going to be 100% no mask and all of those things. And we say it's a choice of individuals. Yes, it is a choice of individuals, but sometimes no matter where we go, we have to have individuals that make decisions and help others to make the right choice to save lives. And that's what it's all about. Okay, let me take this opportunity now to give those raving introductions to those individuals that take time. Now, I just sprinted through their names a minute ago. However, I want to take this opportunity and do like I normally do, give them that introduction that hopefully I have a smile on their face. Hails from the state of South Carolina. A member of Zeta 5H Award Incorporated. She's just making a difference in all kind of ways, even as a retiree. She's a retired educator, a retired counselor, an awesome lover of children, a lifelong educator. None other than Sarah Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
Well, I'm hanging in there tonight. This has not been a good day. You know, I'm still recovering, but I'm on tonight and glad to be with you. And know that you're still buying your toys to make the site even better, the presentation better. That's wonderful to hear.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
Our listening audience of 18 countries. So glad to hear that.
And I'm so glad to have you. I know you say we have some challenging days and we're going to have some ahead of, but our prayers is that you continue to recover and get stronger. And thank you for taking this opportunity to be with us tonight. And, you know, it's just God's will, and we follow his will. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. As I mentioned her name, we're in the room, and I can see Lisa. Lisa can see me. I tell Lisa, I see her. She's definitely down where that warm weather is because, you know they enjoy the weather down. Here I am. We're in some warm days, but it's awesome knowing it. This young lady hailed originally from the state of Hawaii. She, as far as you can get north in the state of Ohio, it's Cleveland. If you go in and follow, you'll be in Canada. But she managed to work her way down to the southern tip of the state of Florida, where it's nice and warm. People are excited and enjoying spring break down there with many thought processes that are going on. And she's awesome. Thank you to her yoga program. She's working with young people. Katie's yoga is awesome, and she's also teaching our young people to deal with things when they have to relax and work them. None other than our co-host as well, Lisa Levine. How you doing, Lisa?
Hi, Dr. Lowe. Hey, Scarlett.
Hi, Lisa.
Good evening.
Well, I'm glad you finally got your toys straightened out. We're
all okay.
Yeah, I'm telling you now, we're going to work on you too, man. We're going to get you eventually, one day. But we're going to hang on in that. And I can tell you that I'd add a few more toys to you know, give it a system where I can really, you can kind of hear the blowout now. So we're moving. We're making it. The studio is moving quick and fast, and that was all. But we got an awesome format for tonight. We're going to just focus on our adolescents, our children, because I think as we begin to concern ourselves more with ourselves, trying to get ourselves in order, we also got to understand our children are dealing with it. Our adolescent up until the age of 17 is dealing with some challenging problems. So I wanted to make sure we talk about it because of the confinement and things we're, as an adult, to a sense, able to handle, not all the things now. But they have challenges and struggles that they're not able to handle. So inside, they feel like they're losing everything. So we wanted to talk about that. You know, how do we keep them safe? How do we save them? How do we make sure our young people can understand when we eventually come out of this with not a whole lot of harm and a whole lot of damage to their mental capacity, their social capacity, and emotional capacity? That's what we want to kind of talk about tonight, and also bring in another facet of it. That's in regards to the homeless individual, special children. We're going to focus on children and adolescents that are homeless, what they're going through COVID-19, and that's something we want to make sure we can share. Hopefully we can get Tina Robinson on there. Now she's in the streets of Oakland, and she's grinding. I mentioned earlier she's being recognized by the newspaper as one of those individuals who's out there grinding day by day. They did an article on her and owning my own truth and working with those individuals in the streets of Oakland. So homeless will be, she said she's going to join us tonight, so she'll call in and kind of share some firsthand things. What are those individuals in the streets are challenging? What are the homeless people going through? Because if you're not there and never go through it, we can only go by what other people tell us. Now, before we move forward, we always do our Black History Moment, and each time I tell everybody, nothing burns on it, just I focus on individuals that are associated with Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, not look at any other organization, but this young man was brought into the organization as an honorary brother, and that's Boosie Collins, and everybody kind of heard of Boosie Collins. He's a bass player and singer and songwriter. We want to give a shout out for making a difference through our R&B, the world of R&B, none other than Boosie Collins, Brother Boosie Collins. So a shout out to him and letting everybody know that Black history and history is every day, and we're going to talk about what changes our present as well as our future. All right. Let's kind of get started, team. We want to make this thing happen. As adolescents and children are literally dying inside, what do we do to save them? That's the key. What do we do to save them? We're going to talk about how we talked about children and young adults last time. We want to talk about the adolescent that's up to 17 years old. Now, we're not going to step too much into 18, but we're going to exactly see the struggles and the things they're going through. And firsthand, because I talked to several young people as well, and they kind of share some things with me and what they're dealing with. And it's been said on this show over and over again in regards to not being able to get out of the house, not being able to go to school. Those are some of the things just so important that they build and grow from that. Yeah, a lot has been taken. Just last year, graduation, a lot of them lost graduation. A lot of them lost a spring season of sport. They lost the opportunity to play in the summer league. They lost all that, something that allows them to grow. We want to talk about those individuals up to the age of 17, the struggles you have heard of, do you believe what you think they're going through, and how eventually, as we finish up, we can do something to save them. It's going to save us, too, because they're our future. Jump in, team, where you feel. Whoever want to jump in first about the struggles our 17 and under is going through.
Well, I think from what I'm seeing and hearing. What are we starting at age, what? Do you want like 12 to 17 or
11 to 17 will be fine.
11 to 17. Okay, we got one. You got some kids that won't leave the house, and you got some kids using COVID as an excuse so they can sit in their rooms and play video games. You got kids falling asleep on the virtual. We've got depression. We've got some kids thinking back on when they were in school and maybe they were being bullied or mistreated. You've got that. I'm hearing a lot of that. Like they're processing now, like what went wrong when they were in school. You got sexuality issues coming up too.
Mm-hmm.
Kids uncertain, they're confused. They don't know who they like, what they like. They're trying to sort out their feelings of being teens. And so much has been taken away. And I just heard a story. A friend of mine told me, she has a friend. The son has not left his room, and I'm not kidding, for a year. Has not been outside. He's 13 years old. That concerns me. Social isolation. Not, you know, interacting, not having the social skills. We have lost a whole year. Think about it, guys. We have lost an entire year. These kids didn't get to start middle school. They started online. They started high school online. They had virtual tours. They're not getting their work done. My understanding down here, I thought, if you're not passing, then you have to go back in person. Now we have a huge issue with the FSA testing here. Some people won't send their kids into the schools to take it. Now, they're having it where you're separated. You know, they're doing it, I think, in an appropriate way. And you got kids that, I don't know if they're using it. I'm too scared to go to school. Other issues you have now. Oh, well, there's a vaccine. We don't need to mask up. We can be in large groups. It's very confusing, and I think our kids are confused because we're confused. And I think because we're confused, we're not sure how to relay the information to them. And I kind of felt, and this just hit me, I kind of felt like Fauci, they should have had psychiatrists, psychologists, somebody from the mental health world in place when they're talking, you know, on TV, at least once a week or so, because this is a huge problem. And my biggest concern is going to be the fall when you got to get people back into the school. I don't know if we're going to get everybody back into a classroom. People are scared to touch things. They're scared of hugging. They want to hug. They want to do things. But then there's this fear overtaking. And it's how do we explain. You know, I keep saying this is just temporary. I know you don't like it, and I don't like it either. I tell the kids all the time, I'm a hugger. You know, I'm you know, very, you know, involved, and I get it. Like, I know for me, I express my feelings of what I like or don't like or what's causing me anxiety. And I think what we're seeing is suicide rates have gone up. We know that. We know there's been drug overdoses. We know kids are using drugs at younger ages. What do we need to do? You know, I feel like we're failing our kids. Really, you know, in my heart, I mean, I've told you guys, I'm working like two nights a week now from like 8 to 9 p.m. You know, I feel bad turning people away because it's such a stress. And people, I think, just need to talk it out. A lot of people need to just talk it out. I think we need to work on the parents and how do we help the parents to help the kids. I always say that. But there's so much going on. I don't know how they process everything. And looking at a screen all day is causing headaches. I've got two kids. They're getting migraines. One now needs glasses from looking at the screen so much. It's a whole slew of things that we could probably talk for hours about and try to find solutions. The biggest thing, everybody, is ask for help if you need it. Just shoot a text, shoot an email, reach out. We all know people on this show. I know other mental health people. But we really need to hone in on how do we transition back. Because I want you to think about something else, too. Some kids were virtual. Some went to the pods. Some went back to school. They left. I felt that either you keep them home or send them. Don't keep disrupting their routine. We have, like, lack of motivation, kids not doing activities. Some kids are, some aren't. They're on the phone. They're on the social media constantly. And then they're up all night. What's that doing? You're up all night. They can't get up for school, whether it's virtual or in person. And I know this has been like a trial and error, I think, for the teachers and school boards. You know, they're trying to see what's going to work. But it's a huge problem. And sitting with the masks on, it's such a stress to these kids. And they're trying and they're scared. Then you got that. I got to get my work done, but I got to make sure my mask doesn't fall because I have fears of getting yelled at. So how do we address these things? You know, I think I mentioned last time, yeah, if you see my mask fall, guys, let me know. I know it's not pleasant wearing it. It's uncomfortable. But right now, this is what we need to do. You know, I'm all about feeling validation and working through that.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
I'll let
you guys jump in. That's awesome. And I tell you, got it.
Well, I think that, first of all, we need to kind of step back a little bit because you can't get the whole elephant at one time. And I think that sometimes when we enumerate all this stuff, it is overwhelming. It is a challenge. But I also think, too, that if we can, you know, go step by step, it may not think that you have to do everything, deal with the mess, deal with this, deal with that, this all at one time. And I think that's where parents get overwhelmed. First thing, first place it starts, and this is just, you know, been my experience after 20 years as a counselor before I became a principal and administrator, is that you start where you can start. As a parent of our children, if you're a parent, whether it's a grandparent raising children, your children's children, or aunts and uncles or guardians or foster parents or whatever the case may be, or the church taking on the village and helping children, start where you can start. Because if you are overwhelmed, it's going to overwhelm them. So start where you are. And the first thing you can do is talk. If you're not a talker, you know, find a way, grip yourself, go in, and start talking. Don't let children stay in a room isolated day in and day out, and no one is interacting with them there in that household. Talk to them. Ask the questions, and don't do the yes and no type questions. Ask questions and formulate questions that you know you need to get a response from, and not just yeah, no, the type of thing. Talk and try to, you know, get a response where it opens up the dialogue. Well, you know, I know this has been tough. You're feeling really rough about this, and a lot of things have been taken away. But we all know, as older ones in this country, as those of us who are older, we know that there have been a lot of 16, 17-year-olds and younger people who had things taken away, especially for those grandparents who, you know, experienced the war and wars of this country, where parents were either and those that are serving on duty now. You know, it's all kinds of things that you can bring in, you know, experiences from your childhood and from your past that might help them to overcome what's going to be their childhood and their past right now. And let them know that you have faith in your child, that, yes, we will get through this, but we'll get through this together as a family, as your mom or as your dad and us together, your grandparents, whomever is interacting, raising that child. Just let them know that you are there. Yes, it's tough. We've gone through, you know, a pretty rough year. It's been rough on me as a parent. You know, let them know it's been rough on you also as a parent. But we're going to get through this together. Start where you can start. When it comes time for the schools to open up, and they are going to open up, you know, it's going to be back to, you know, full face-to-face learning. And there are going to be some that are going to be reticent about going back into the school. We'll have, you know, cross that bridge and start preparing for it. Well, we know you have time to start preparing now. This is what's getting ready to happen, and hopefully soon, because parents need to get back to work, and things do need to get back. You know, it's going to be a new normal. It's not going to be the normal that we were accustomed to before all this happened. It's now a new phase in America and in American life, and we have to accept it, because what else are we going to do but accept it? Like, we adjust and move through adjustments in our lives individually, and we start preparing, you know, kids for this now. We as adults prepare ourselves for it too. And sometimes we still, you know, all of us got a child inside of each of us, even as adults. We've got to, you know, move through it as if, you know, we're also having to settle in our minds how we're going to approach all this stuff. But again, going back, start where you can start. Do not try to do it all right at a time, because it's all going to be done, but you got to do it in phases, and you got to take it as you can take it and not be overwhelmed yourself as to not overwhelm your children.
Awesome, awesome. The call-in number is 347-857-4192, plus one. I'll get you on the line, just give you a location, as well as your comments, your concerns, as well as your questions. There's a couple of things that's just been said that's so important. You know, as Lisa said, that these young people have begun to really get comfortable with being in their rooms or being at home and not being in a school building. It's a difference between, you know, you really have to go back. But I said somebody talked with a couple of parents and some children, and they really having some challenges with here in this particular area where I am, is that they're going to go back and attempt to do face-to-face on April the 5th. And a lot of these students have been out all year on virtual. And now you're asking them to kind of put that in place. But it's one good thing I'll say the system did allow them to choose. And they, out of 28,000 students, only 7,000 chose to come back starting April the 5th and possibly go through the end of May. So that's another thing that I think we're going to have to try to do things relating to what Scarlett was saying, is we have to do it just like when you talk about block by block. We got to start in our own home. We got to be able to communicate with our children. One thing about the pandemic, and we can say from the beginning, was that it was when we was all safe at home, we was able to come together. And that's when that part of that communication of talking with each and every one should have come into play. You should be, and did a little refining of it by this time, but if you didn't talk with your family members and kind of share things with your children and listen to them as well, then we're going to have struggles, and we're going to continue to have struggles. Sometimes we get too busy, too fast, in a hurry to do things and forget about our children. Scholars say grandparents are raising children. So they're able and forced to communicate the best they can with them, to get them to kind of understand. But the biggest thing is being able to talk. They have a lot of questions, and you have to allow them to ask the question, do your best to answer the question, and not scream and shout at them, you know, because you don't have on your mask. I seen a little fella somewhere out with his mom, and he had his mask down a little bit. Parents just turned around, "Boy, put your mask up there," you know, and he looked around. These are the kind of things, because we are frustrated, because we're not really having any clarity and understanding like we need to have, that we're able to snap back because we're frustrated. And that's one of the things that we're going to have to do, being able to communicate at home with your family members, with your children, because, and allow them to ask questions. They're going to ask the question, why can't I go back to school? they're going to ask that question. That's why we have to be well-informed ourselves so we don't rely on somebody to come on television to tell your child that. You ought to be able to kind of explain to them. It might not be the best answer. No one said you're the scientist. Nobody said you're the political person, but you're their parents. They listen to you. So be well-informed the best you can to find out so you can talk, because we're going to be truly, truly thinking as adults in a hurry to get back. We, to a sense, can kind of handle it. But our children, we're going to want to thrust our children right in there as well. And they've been out of the norm, any kind of normalcy, for a year. It's been a year. And you got to realize they got to. So we have to have a plan. I think even when the situation with the school, closing the schools and everything, they had several months to put a plan together. 6 months. Nobody put a plan together. Nobody did anything. Now we got to have a plan to transition them back to coming face to face.
Yeah.
Some just not going to come back because the circumstances that they had before when they was in face to face, you don't know what they went through. You assume because they was at school every day, everything was all right. It may not. What happened during the pandemic allowed them to kind of gather and get themselves together to kind of say, well, I don't have to deal with the bullying. I don't have to deal with the peer pressure. I didn't have to deal with that in school. I'm better off at home. That's why we have many options for education.
The safe space.
You know, all education.
Another issue, Dr. Lawrence, jump in really quick. Mm-hmm. Teens typically don't want to talk to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then parents are like, they don't want to talk to me. And I say, what I always say is just let them know I'm here, I'm available, if there's anything bothering you. So, you know, there's different types of breakdowns in communications. And then you got some parents that, and I don't mean this offensively, they really don't know how to communicate with their kids, or they treat the kids as an equal, or they put them down for their own anxiety. And, you know, the scoop of things to push them. And then they come, you know, with you, and I
look
at these people, and I'm like, what is
the topic of your
event?
I thank you. Lisa, you got
to. Yeah.
Okay. Your boy, I mean, is going in and out. It's dancing all over the place. We're gonna work on that. All right, Scarlett, you was about to jump in right there.
Yeah, I was jumping in. I want to give a challenge to the educators, including the administrators, those principals, assistant principals, everyone that works in the school system, whether you are a cafeteria worker, bus driver, or whatever. Now's the time that we all come together collectively, because we're in my school as a staff, I'll be calling everyone together in that school, regardless of what may or may not come from the administrative office. But I would have people doing small sessions with children, beginning on that school bus ride to school. You know, how is everyone this morning? How is it going? Oh, you're great, because the school's been a long time since we've been together. But I would start from that bus ride until they got right back on the bus to go back home. But everybody in that school would be on a team. Yeah, we're a team welcoming our kids back. We're a team working with this entire school population and making sure they feel welcome and that they have an opportunity to express how they feel. Every morning in my school, from 8 until 8:15 or 8:20, we had sharing sessions, where kids would come into the classroom, and my teacher said we'd all done training on this to take those children from 8 to 8:30 when they got in the classroom. We didn't start instruction right at 8 o'clock. Because sometimes, like you said, doctor, when they got to school, instruction was not on their mind, even in the best of times pre-COVID. So, we had sharing sessions where we just take and just have a moment before the day started with instruction to make sure that the day was beginning emotionally positive. And that if a child had a bad experience at home the day or night before, we could head that off early in the day to make sure by the time at the end of the day, we'd either made a difference in making that child feel better or making sure that the child got whatever interventions that were needed to help resolve the problem. So the main thing to do is don't start on that very first day on in-person learning, starting out with reading and writing and arithmetic. You know, you got to get the kids emotionally prepared to be able to accept instruction and to get back into it. So, you know, whatever you can do, and I'm challenging those educators, administrators, and all those who work in school systems, regardless of what your position is, when you're in this, you're in it collectively as a team. And the number one concern is those children. It's all about the children.
Exactly. And I tell you, scholars, you're hitting it on the head. One thing, as you know, as a leader, you got to, you know, this is the greatest time coming back, trying to attempt to come back, and then coming back in the fall is shared leadership. It's one of the biggest things going to play a major role in the schools that are successful and the schools that are not going to be successful. We have to keep that in mind because we almost have to be able to the point where definitely include our young people in what's going to be happening in our schools every day. We just can't go and say this is the way we think it's supposed to be because they have spent a year out really in a lot of cases not even being in a classroom. So you got to be able to kind of listen now. This is a challenge. That's why I said putting a plan together as an educator, as a leader, a plan that includes everybody, not just be exclusive. It got to be inclusive to the point that they are included so you can be able to work. It's going to take a little bit a greater effort because even with your staff, see, a lot of your staff's in a lot of places because on February the 8th or 9th here in Alabama, in Montgomery, those individuals, everybody went home, students, teachers, faculty, staff, and nobody could come back to the building. They tried to work a little time one day a week because of certain things that had happened. So they was out. Now they got to be groomed again too. I'm talking about professionals that you think should be already, but they have their fears, they have their challenges as well. So we have to make sure we got a plan, and then we have to stick to the plan. See, one of the things, we can't do all this bouncing around when we had people not even having the opportunity to really play a part, you know, in their education because of the pandemic. So we have to really, really grind this thing out. We can't play with it and sit around here and play anything, politics, religion, or whatever you want to play. You cannot play with this now because these children and these young people really need the adults to make some good decisions, but also include them in the decision too because they know what works best for them. They know what works best for them. So we have to keep that in mind. The calling number is 347-857-4192. Press 1 to make sure we get you online. Lisa, now she's calling in, and she's going to be on the board. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I don't think it's my connection. I think it's the online. I don't know. We got to figure it out. You and I need to be in the same room.
He needs to come down here. I have an extra room every time. I want to see you come down here.
Yeah. Hey, and Donald typed on it. You probably saw. Who's been doing all that typing? That's what Donald said. He typed in that. Who's going to comment on that? That was Lisa typing. It was going so fast. Who's doing all that typing? And so the thing about it, everything can be heard. It's awesome. But that's where we are. We got to move forward. So, again, the calling number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. Then we can jump right on into this conversation. You can offer your answer. What is your district doing? What is your state doing? Wherever you are you having the same challenges everybody else having? So what we want to really know what's going on with you so we can help somebody somewhere that everybody this time got to help each other to be able to educate our young people. Get them prepared because they have to be almost to the point, you know, I hate to say conditioned, but reconditioned to going back to school in certain areas.
Right.
And we have to live with them. And we have to keep working hard at it. Now, the next thing I want to move forth is talk about just a few minutes about the long-term effects on our children and adolescents. You know, we bounce around it. We say a few things about it, but the long term, and I just can be started off by sharing with what a couple of a 7-year-old, 11 or 12 in that bracket, I was talking, just listening what they had to say, because you had to listen to them, you know, and they truly, truly made their mind up, and they were trying to convince their individuals that they're better off at home than being in school. And we're saying, you know, okay, we need to make sure you understand you need to be in that classroom as well. But
right.
From this pandemic, that could be a long-term effect on that 7-year-old that's soon to be 8, or that 12-year-old that's soon to be 13. So we got
right.
to realize that it's going to be some long-term effect. It's not going to just because everybody did vaccine. And we back to our sense of norm about it, whatever it's going to be. But still, the emotional, the social, and the mental well-being of our children has been for a while. It's not just for now. And we have to realize that we have to be prepared for it as the adults. And that's something I want us to jump on and talk about right now. Long-term effects, you see, give a couple of them, you think it's going to be way beyond this academic year, possibly next academic year, or are we talking about in the future?
Right. I'm curious to see down the road.
Yeah, if anyone thinks that there's not going to be a long-term effect on Americans' children, we're fooling ourselves. We're really lying to ourselves, because there is going to be a long-term effect on some children. Some, just like anything else, will bounce back quicker than others, and some, it may be a long-term effect. But again, you know, we got to, you know, how we start now is talking them, you know, as much as we can, talking them through it and things of this nature. I don't know if it was, I haven't had a chance to really research this entire COVID relief package, but I'm hoping that there is a lot of money in that package that will be able to hire more psychologists and counselors for American children and outside of school. More people like Lisa and that can take on responsibilities, you know, even outside the school setting, but we're going to have an investment now, not only to the physical and food insecurity and the homelessness and things of the physical nature. We're also going to have more funding and more intervention and more bodies
right.
dealing with our children, just America's children's emotional and mental health and stability. And just like, you know, I used to tell parents all the time, you know, what would you do if your child had a catastrophic disease, you know, physically and needed help? Well, the same thing applies to their emotional and mental well-being,
right.
too. You know, and I know we talk about the stigma. We've had a show, you know, talked about the stigma in the Black community when it comes to mental and emotional well-being, because, you know, for us, you know, for some, and it's lifting and it's improving, where we think that, you know, that is a taboo that we shouldn't have to deal with. But now we're at the point now where we got to realize that a holistic approach from top of your head to the bottom of your feet mm-hmm. needs to be a concern about all people, you know, and a person's well-being. This also includes the children in America. The top of their head to the bottom of their feet is a concern to America. And that includes, on top of your head, that's including the brain, the mental capacity, emotional capacity that starts there from the top of the head.
Awesome.
Well, think about this too, Scarlett, like kids that are traumatized. You know, they say like kids like 0 to 5, like when there's a trauma, it can impair social, cognitive, emotional development. We're going to see that right now, you know,
yeah.
And I think something that we're going to see that because this is a trauma. We're all in a trauma. We're just all being affected by it differently. I mean, we incorporate SEL in with our program, but they're going to have to put more SEL, and they need people that are trained. You know, this is a thing we often talk about in the mental health world. You need to have mental health professionals in that are trained that can help work with schools. You know, we have to be a team and all work together and implement these types of programs. Some schools, and I've done research on this, you know, they make relaxation rooms. They make spaces for kids to go to where they can calm down, collect their thoughts, teach that emotional regulation. Because I think we're going to see a shift with lack of social skills, lack of emotional regulation, kids probably getting sick because they haven't built their immune systems up. And then it's, you know, the anxiety. Kids get sick from anxiety. We know that. Headaches, stomach aches, nervousness. What do we need to put in place? Like, that should be worked on. We should be working on all that now. What do
exactly.
And then you tweak it as you go along. You know, you can tweak things, and each one of us responds differently to different stimuli or different techniques. So, SEL programs,
you know,
are very good.
Yeah. I came through a time when I was, you know, in my training for counseling, that we were doing a lot of relaxation, RT therapies and things of that nature. Then there came a backlash from the right that back then it really knocked a lot of these programs out. And then it became very popular that when schools were in budget crisis, some of the first programs to go were counseling and also the arts, things that kids love, you know, art, music,
right.
Things of that nature. Yeah, the first things to go. Those were the two programs that, you know, either in counseling or sometimes both, you know, programs would be cut. And
exactly.
We've just got to stop doing that in this country. We've just got to, you know, to put the resources and the money where we know the problems are. It's not like we don't know where the problems are. We know where the problems are.
Exactly.
Now
exactly.
It's time to put the money and put your money in your mouth where it should be on American
exactly.
children. On America's children.
And I'm so glad you're saying this, Scarlett, because you know whenever there's any kind of proration, I'm just using locally, any kind of the first budget cuts you see a lot of time in education will be the thing
yep.
they really need to have. We always attack, and that's why I you asked the question first, Scarlett, about the money that's coming out of this relief package. It's going to go to the schools. Truly, are they going to use it for what really benefits? Because when you send it as a lump sum and don't be specified about what you're spending it on, and you don't have a plan to spend it on, a lot of times it don't meet the needs that we know that we need. That's why I said it has to be a plan now. These school systems and these superintendents and these state ought to be sitting down coming up with plans. How are we going to put this money into play to help the children? Not so much as help the other things. Now, some of the other things that are going on, I can use, for example, here we know that it's challenging to talk about sending a child back to a building that's 107 years old. And that
right.
might be to you all,
right.
you like, you shocked, you like, is there a building? Yeah, there are schools that children are going to every day, especially in this area, 100 and I know for sure the high school that I graduated is 104 years old. So, and you know you don't have the ventilation. That's what the virus set up. That's home for the virus. So you're saying we're going to get money to come in and do things. that we're going to take. Some people are going to focus on trying to take that money and build or renovate and try to get their school, which they need to because they can't send the children into it because of the lack of ventilation. So what I'm saying is so many things. Yes, it's a lot of money, but how in the world are their plan? What's the plan? And we don't want them to do a plan without letting us know what plan is happening. We want to hear what they're doing.
The money, like some-year-old school, when it was trying to put ventilation in there, the whole ceiling may fall down. That's how bad it got in some areas of South Carolina. And others, I've visited the various states in this country, and I've seen some really dilapidated places. You know,
come
on, I don't know how you're going to do that. And where, you know, we talked about the plan, but I'm hoping that the Secretary of Education is heavily involved in how that money is coming down the line, because most of these governors in some of these states becomes politicized, and this money does not need to be politicized. This money needs to be for the care of America's children. And however that money is sent, be monitored, it needs to be controlled, it needs to be an inspector general who is looking at how these funds are being spent in these states, particularly in some states where we know politicization, you know, is the name of the game. You know, and we know who voted for this fund, who did. So, you know, we have to make sure that it's being used like it's supposed to be used. And in those schools that are so old, you know, taxpayers in those areas need to, you know, start demanding. We're tired of this. This school that my grandparents went to, and it's still here.
Exactly.
And no, I think.
That we have built. And that can meet 2020 standards.
Exactly.
American children. And it makes me mad. You know what I'm saying? It just ticks me off when we play with America's kids.
Yep. And Lisa was saying what you were saying, Lisa, you had jumped in there.
Oh, yeah. I think part of our problem down here, one, we have a testing system that costs millions of dollars, and I'm wondering what can be done maybe with some of that money. Like, I don't know. The kids have to do these FSAs. Have you guys heard of that? There's a lot of money that goes into it, and that's one issue. The second, they're learning to take a test, but I thought, well, is there a way to do something? Because it's a lot of money, and maybe they could use some of the money to do some renovations. The other issue, I think, down here, you got everybody and their brother moving down here all of a sudden because they think it's an open state and it's going to be better. You know, this was a temporary, this was a one-year, little over a year event. Our schools are already overcrowded. I don't know where they're going to put these kids. I don't know. We have portables on the outside of the schools already. And I think some of my kids that have been going to school said to me, they like having smaller classrooms. They can focus better. They've been doing okay, and they're well-adjusted. But what are you going to do when you've got more people moving in? And where do you put all these kids that are coming in? How do you get, I mean, it's all over the, Florida's the hot spot. The market here is flipping the houses, and people are coming down here, but we can't just leave because our state didn't do what Florida did, or you know what I mean? Because eventually things will calm down and be wherever they need to be. But it's thinking things through before reacting. You have to have a plan. Yeah, that's the whole point.
You
can't have 40 kids in a classroom. Mm-hmm. And
no,
I think,
no,
if I'm wrong, Scarlett,
you need to get Scarlett. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do schools base their budget, like, on this year for next year? Does that make sense? Would budgets be based on the amount of kids enrolled or in programming? I mean, you probably know more about that. Do they base how much funding that they get?
Our district has a demographics department, and they project 5 years out. So I could tell you the budget that I received each year, it was based on the projection enrollment for my school in terms of student population. And that was, but that's all part of planning. You know, you didn't you didn't go year by year. Like I said, they could tell me, and any principal in the district, you know, this is what you can be expecting. And pretty much each year, they're right on the money. You know, I mean, I kind of like knew, you know, that I'm gonna have these this number of kids moving into the area, blah blah blah. You know, and what we can expect as a result of that, then my allocation on teacher allocation will be based on my student enrollment, based on the demographics department projections. And I can keep my class sizes smaller because I would have the extra personnel to make sure that our class sizes stay small. And in classes in the fourth and fifth grade level, I always try to keep the class sizes no more than around 20, 21 children in the classroom. And at the earlier grade levels, I would try not to do any more than about 18 in a classroom. So I really worked hard on trying to make sure that our class sizes stayed real small because the kids love the small class sizes, and the teachers do too. And on those years when we had rough budgets and we had budget declines, of course those class sizes rose. But for the most part, you know, we pride ourselves on low class sizes.
Exactly. And we have to keep
in mind. I'm just wondering
that,
what budgets will be.
The teacher student ratio too, when you're at each level, you know, elementary normally 1 to 18, and this is pretty much the same here, but it's the biggest thing I think when we were talking, we can see some things that can happen, but it is not a plan by each one of these districts or each one of these schools to put into play how we're going to adjust to this for a long-term purpose. Yes, in the relief plan, it is not just for this year, and everybody's looking at the stimulus payment, but it's in there. There are some billions of dollars put for things that are going to happen in 2024, 2025. If you know that and it's affecting your city, you need to start planning and putting things in order and gradually tier things up instead of just automatically saying, well, you know, it's coming and we're going to spend it, and you're not attacking because whatever the problem and situation you have in your schools this year may not be the same in 2 or 3 years. So enrollment may drop. Enrollment may increase. You know, it's a lot goes on. But the planning is the real challenge we have in here, and I think we're falling short on that end. Even our state governments are struggling because of their lack of planning on a lot of people, and it affects all other areas as well. But the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Give us a call. Let us know. You want to chat with Lisa as well as Scarlett and myself as we talk about some things. I want to kind of move this agenda to homeless individuals and how their mental well-being, when you know they are living on the streets in some places, some people could be living in somebody else's home. And we have to understand, and I don't know how to use it in South Carolina, but Scarlett, when we talk about homeless, it could be a displaced family staying with a grandparent, a displaced family staying with a brother or sister, and they're classified because they don't have their own home. So, but they still already dealing with a mental capacity. We don't even have anywhere to stay. We got to stay with Uncle Joe. And Uncle Joe walked around, you know, off the wall. So they're displaced. Now you got COVID-19. The biggest thing, how do we deal with that? What is your thought about how we deal with the homeless individual, not just ones out on the street, but the ones that have to stay with somebody else because mama lost her job. We can't pay our rent anymore. I know we have a rent and a mortgage moratorium on, but still, if you're not able to pay it, eventually it's not said it's not going to be charged to you, but the point is you're homeless. You don't have anything. What that does to a child? You know, what's your thoughts on that? You know, child and an adolescent, and you know we don't have nowhere to stay. We don't. How is this COVID-19 affecting them?
Yeah, we also had a person in the district that was the entire position was to work with our homeless population in our district and to make sure that all those kids and those families were identified. And in our local situation, we tried to make sure that the counselor in my school, when we got notice or we knew those children were out of sync, so to speak, in terms of their family structure, living with somebody else, living in motels, living in the cars or whatever, we had referrals and services that we could call upon to try to find low-income housing. Oftentimes, also get the parents or whoever raised the kids, employment and things of that nature. And to me, that was really the best use of school social worker and counselors, as well as work with our district personnel to make sure these children did not go unnoticed and unhelped. Often, you know, in some schools, depending on the wealth of the school, you know, they knew about, they had these children like, you know, this in their schools, and they were made to feel invisible. It was just, you know, the attitude and the environment in our school that no child is invisible. Every child counts.
Exactly.
Every person matters. And even if we know about it, we're going to get involved and try to do everything we can to help that family, to help that child, and to make sure that child has someone in that school who was either mentoring them, talk with them on a daily basis, and touch in base to see how things were going, how things were doing. So that's just how we try to, you know, help with the situation. And it would be a blessing if all schools in all districts in all states took on those roles, because people are not invisible. We just don't have throwaway folks in America or anywhere else in the world for that matter.
Exactly. All right. Lisa, you want to jump in right there?
Problem down here, too, is we don't have a lot of homeless shelters in our area. And some people can't stay with relatives or friends, and some people have had to leave here, you know, and then
yeah.
The other issue with all that, they've had to like leave because we don't have, like, there's no homeless shelters really around, and then they can't go live with the family, or then they go in with the family and someone gets sick and there's too many people, you know, in the house. It's a big problem, and then losing kids, then you don't get kids that are you know, able to tune in online. Like, they can't jump online, or they don't have the equipment, or there's no internet. Like, there's a whole slew of issues with this, and people have lost their homes. Let's face it, they lost their businesses, and that's a huge stress. And as a parent, when you're under that amount of stress, like, how are you managing it? And explaining it to your kids, you know, it's a lot. And then you have the kids going to school, and you got to find a, you know, there's a lot of factors involved here. I'm not sure what the unemployment rate or homeless rate, I haven't looked recently. You'll both be proud of me, though. I have watched the news a little bit more.
Yeah, we're very much proud of
you. Scarlett will
we're
be very proud,
proud
of me.
We are. We are very much proud. You know,
I'd be very proud. I started watching again. So.
That's good. That's
and
good.
Reading, I always read, but I've been watching. So, but yeah, I think there's so many issues.
And to add to that, we want to make sure we understand that every circumstance and every place is different. How they deal with it in regards to homeless is, we know basically in the school, we try to make sure we recognize we have a lot of people that come that rebels against you simply telling them they're homeless. And they're like, I'm not homeless, I'm with somebody, but they understand you don't have a home,
right.
you're homeless. And we're talking about individuals at this point not even going to school because they're trying to do the internet action
right.
at home and don't have a place to do it. It's just so much for children to have to deal with. So
it's
we need
lot.
To be here planning how we going to be able to work with a new normal. See, and not just say, I can't wait till we get this vaccine. I can't wait till we get this so we can get back to normal. The children will not be normal. Their long-lasting effects will be way beyond what we're thinking. And what
yeah.
we have to do is make sure we get ourselves in a position so we can be able to work with our families and the individual we're encountering today. We got to go block by block. We got to deal with what's going on. All the knowledge and wisdom you have, you share with your family to the point that if you need help, then you get some individuals that can offer some kind
right.
of avenue to help them so they can understand that this is a challenge. No one was prepared for it. You can never be prepared for this kind of situation. People died around you, and lives are being lost. You can't get prepared for that because
right.
one person is one too many. One life doesn't matter. So that's what it's all about.
What I'm hoping and praying is that because this has been such a massive, massive crisis in this country and around the world, is that for folks who never had experience standing in the food lines, getting boxes of food, and people who, thought they had it made, they had arrived, and all this kind of stuff. You know, sometimes when you get into another position in life, and you start seeing how people used to turn your nose up at.
Now you're in that position.
And now you're in that situation. And I hope and pray these folks who've had to go through this trauma will never lose that feeling. You know, when you start criticizing somebody else's lifestyle, and how can this person not do this and not do that, not do this and not do that, go back and think about 2020. Because it's been a rough year for a whole lot of people, in this country. Don't turn your nose up and think it can't happen to you, because I'm sure most of these folks never thought it would. But it did.
Yeah. And that's the thing about it. We're hoping everybody would understand that. But, again, we get back to normalcy and they get back to getting the things they have. And it's always that mentality that we will not remember where we've been. We always want to look at where
right.
we're going without remembering where we came from. And they remember, I went through that phase, but, now I'm back up on top. So we got some, but children don't have the opportunity. I'm not even focused on adults. Children don't have that opportunity. They got to have somebody that's
right.
adults that understand it to work with them. And that's what we're trying to share tonight. And that's what our goal was, to share with the children and adolescents, giving you some thought process about it. We can't cover all of it within the time frame, but it's been awesome to be able to come before you and share some thoughts. We got some individuals that have been commenting on Facebook. We got individuals commenting on Instagram, offer some awesome thoughts here, and we appreciate everything. We can't read everything because it's trying to move with the show and then read in between. But it's been a blast, and we thank you for being a part of it. I'll ask both of the co-hosts to give their closing remarks right now, and then we'll move forward to giving a shout-out to those individuals and call the show to an end. I see one of the hosts of one of our shows just type, "Hey, Doc." So they're trying to get in here, and we appreciate everybody. Whichever one of you want to be first to share your closing remarks in regards to what our young people and how we can save them.
I just want to thank everyone for tuning in again tonight, and hopefully that we have provided information or said something that is motivating and inspiring for all of us to get out into our communities and to make sure that we're trying to make a difference in the lives of our all of us, not just your way in your block, but the next block over too. This has been a daunting year, but thank God that we're still here, we're still surviving, we're still trying to make it.
That's it.
So just Yeah. Hang in there. Talk to your kids. Talk to somebody, you know, your neighbor's children, whatever it could be. You could be inspiring and share, you know, something that will help motivate someone else and help them to feel better. Nothing but to get a smile. You know, we just got to get back to smiling again and just being okay. You know, just start with the talking, wherever you can start. Start and begin. But again, thank you for tonight, and keep hanging in there. We will get through this, and we will get through it together.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Carter.
I'll be brief.
Yeah.
Talk it over, talk it out. Keep the faith. I mean, we made it through a year. To me, the anniversary was Saturday because that's the last time I taught in a public school, and we're doing some charter schools right now. But it's been very, I can share personally, it's been very hard for me because I'm not with the kids, you know, or my schools. And if anything, talk it out, listen, be supportive. I always say send a text checking in. You need anything, let your kids know you're there for them. Even if they don't want to talk, just let them know I'm here, you know. Or if they seem upset, you know, it seems like something's bothering you, I'm always here if you need to talk to me about it, or I can get you someone to talk to. I think it's really important that they're heard and not judged, because I think a lot of kids feel that they're judged. And they oftentimes don't want an answer back. They just want to let it out. And
yes.
Sometimes I just sit and listen. I don't say a whole lot. Depends on what's going on. I mean, I text them lists of things so they remember what to do, because how can you remember, you know, when you are anxious? And even as a family, to say, as a parent, it's okay to say I'm sad or I'm anxious and these are some things I'm going to do. Or, like, with somebody I work with now, the whole family is doing yoga together, and they're meditating. Like, they decided at night together, you know. And you're not even doing a lot of talking, guys. You're just connecting. Find a way to connect, whether it's through art, yoga, movement, an activity. Some people aren't into talking, but it is good to talk and let your feelings out. But if you need to, there's other outlets. And know that you're not alone. People should, you know, if you feel you're alone, call us. We will get you a support system. I think that's very important also. People need to know they're supported and cared about and loved.
That's it.
And that's
we talk about love on the show all the time. Thank you so much, Lisa and Scarlett. It was awesome sharing that information from our personal experience and so on, and from where we've been listening to individuals as they talk to us and share their thoughts. And that's what it's all about, being open to hear what someone has to say. That's why we use this vessel to get the word out and allow you with the same opportunity to call in or type in your comments on Facebook, Instagram, and whatever it may be you want to get your information to us. We're on Twitter. We're so glad to have you. See, that's what it's all talking real to you is all about, just focusing on just plain old life issues. Then we have to get at the grassroots level and work our way up. And I think we will make a difference as we get to the top if we continue to plan and stick to the plan. That's one of the things we can gain from the show tonight. But we had some awesome individuals join us, and I want to give a shout out to them. We have Carol Davis join us as well. Thank you so much, Carol. She's was one of those individuals that helped this show kind of get it, you know, springboard. She had her family member to come on as a guest with an organization that was working with individuals. Also, Tracy Royale, thank you so much for joining us. Or we have the host of just plain old, you know, talking serious and just trying to, you know, real talk. And that's Queen Minister Lewis, Shannon Lewis, thank you so much. We have Edward K. McDonald III, and thank you, Edward, for saying you were able to catch the show tonight. You also said to engage the youth. How do you answer the question to be more active? What's in it for me? And, you know, that is a question some people do have. What is it for them? And it's all about trying to make sure we make a difference with our young people. Also, we want to give a shout-out to Donald Van Horn. And he had a comment. I want to make sure I get his name. Yeah, you can laugh. You already started to laugh, Lisa. It said, Lisa's high school was built when George Washington was the president of the United States. So that's pretty long time ago. we have Terry Mello, dramatic Robinson, join us as well. And I thank Donald for sharing that humor with us. Sharon Presley, sharing with one of my students back in the 80s, back there, a long time ago. And we kind of reconnect through Facebook, and she said she saw me on there, and she said, well, that's Coach Smith. That's what they used to call me in the beginning, Coach Smith. And it's awesome to be able to have her join us as well. We have Marquise Vorkin. Thank you for joining us as well. And it's been good having each and every one of you all. Now, our next show we're going to have is tomorrow at 1 o'clock. It's Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood, and we're going to focus on the neighborhood block by block. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time just talking about everything, but we're going to focus what's going on in your neighborhood. We want you to be a part. It's 1 o'clock Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We have a host of individuals join us and share their thoughts. And our title for tomorrow's show is Relationship. How do we prepare boys for a healthy relationship? I think that's going to be something we have to definitely discuss with our boys. And to help develop them. We didn't say a man, we said a boy. You prepare a man, prepare a boy, he can be an awesome man in a relationship. Just remember that. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow, as well as we just want you to take care of yourself. Love on your family members. I know we got the vaccine. We're about to get back where we can do things that we didn't normally could do for 2 or 3 months ago. But hug your family members. You know, if not, send them a virtual hug. Send them a virtual word of love. And that's what it's all. Our hashtag is One Life Matter. Second hashtag is for sure responsible. Be responsible. Just because we got a vaccine, 10% of our population, you still need to wear your mask. You have to continue to be responsible. You still got to wash your hands. You still got to stay. Now we got an argument whether it's 3 feet or
Thank
6 feet,
you.
But almost 6 feet. And also, stay at home when it's, you know, when you no need to be out. Because the other day, I was a friend called me and said, so many people out in the street flying up and down the boulevard and up to the interstate trying to be out because we got the vaccine. We got to realize we have still have a long way to go, and hopefully we can get to it. And if everybody be vigilant about doing what's right, that's what it's all about. Hashtag keep on grinding. Hashtag communicate for understanding. And last but not least, as we get ready to leave, we just thank everybody for taking time to be a part of. Thank our co-hosts for joining us and offering some awesome, awesome information that can help you look at your neighborhood, look at your home, look how you deal with your children, because we have to be the leaders in our homes. TV shouldn't lead, radio. TikTok, Clubhouse should lead. You should be the leader. And if you don't know how, call and ask somebody and ask them what they need to do. Ask for help, because that's what it's all about. Have an awesome rest of the evening. I look forward to talking with you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. That's Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood. We're going to address the issues in your neighborhood block by block. We are the grassroots program that focuses on real talk show that focuses on all of those issues. Have an awesome rest of the evening. And as I close out, I always tell everybody, you know, I give you the L, I love you. I give you my heart, I love you. Then on top of that, I love you. It ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome rest of the night.
I love you. I will love you.
Yeah. right here.